Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter 3. In verse 8, "Yet indeed also I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." We need to know this. We need to know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, and we need to be conformed to His death. This is one of the keys to the Christian life. People who don't understand it may say to themselves, "Why in the world would I want to fellowship with His sufferings or be conformed to His death?" Well, because in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, it was at the cross, His death, where we became one new man with Him. In Galatians 2:20, "Because we are crucified with Christ, it is already done, it has happened. We are already crucified with Christ. We live the life of God." Now, whether or not we experience that life is another matter, but positionally anyway, we live the life of God. The only way for me to get to know God is to get to know the power of His resurrection. In other words, that God's quality of life in us, the fellowship of His sufferings, which conforms us to the image of His Son, and to be conformed to His death. In John 16:33, "I have spoken these things unto you that you may have peace in me. You have distress in the world, but be encouraged, I have overcome the world." Christ will allow you to go through darkness where there is no light, so that the deep can call unto the deep in Psalm 42:7. He has called you into places of darkness from time to time. In Lamentations 3:2, "He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light." We don't usually think of this as believers, but darkness is planned for us. These are some of the most crucial times in a believer's life, is these times of darkness. When we talk about darkness, no light, we're saying that we have no emotional confirmation. We have no mental witness. We have a barrenness of the Word of God. We have no resources, nor do we have any desire to love or to obey. But it's not the darkness that matters, it's that there is no light. In Isaiah 50 and verse 10, "Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of His servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon Him." Everybody is called to these times of no light. Don't be surprised, don't be shocked when they come. People will say, "Well, I have no feelings, I have no mental witness. It's just kind of dull for me, I'm just kind of out there. I was fine for a long time and all of a sudden I have nothing." Yes, you were called into that. That was pre-planned. That's no accident. "What did I do wrong, Pastor, that this is where I am?" You did nothing wrong. You were called there. God brought it on purpose for a very specific reason. When there is no light at all, then you obey the voice of His servant. That's how you deal with it. Sometimes people will hear the Word of God and it's not penetrating. They read the Word of God and it's like eating sand. When that takes place, and you know you're not hearing from Him, obey the voice of His servant. Obey the pastor's voice. Obey His message. Obey the things that He teaches you in doctrine. Simply pure, cold obedience. Don't worry about if you're feeling it or not feeling it. That doesn't define anything. That has no relevance at all. It may be personally edifying, but it's not relevant to a walk with God. Just obey the voice of God's servant. Obey the message. Obey the doctrine that the pulpit is teaching you. You are in a dark place because in Isaiah 45:3, God gives you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches in secret places. Never become anxious about this darkness. Never become anxious because there is no emotional confirmation or mental witness. Never become anxious that you don't sense any sort of Word of God moving in your heart or giving you the desire or the quickening or loving or anything like that. Don't become anxious about it. You are in a dark place so that God can give you the treasures of darkness. There are hidden riches to be found in this place, and the way that you find them is by obeying the voice of His servant. In Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen great light. For every single believer alive today, the day is coming when you will not be able to get out of the darkness. And you will need to experientially know Christ. You will have to have an experiential relationship with the Holy Spirit. And you will need an understanding of His Word, of His faith, of His love, and have these forces built up in you so that you become an expression of the oneness of God against your enemy. This darkness is one of the most powerful experiences Christians can experience. And it's one of the most valuable places of growth. People in darkness will say, I am absolutely not growing. You should know my thoughts. If you knew my thoughts, you would say I wasn't even saved. You don't understand darkness. There's riches to be found there. Nowhere else can you find those treasures except through those types of experiences. In Isaiah 42, God takes you by the hand and He keeps you. This does not change with light or darkness. If you are experiencing darkness, God will take you by the hand and He will keep you. He's the one that's ordering your steps. He brought you into that darkness. He's the one who will take you through the darkness, and eventually He will take you out of the darkness, but only after you've acquired the treasures of darkness. In Matthew 6:23, when you're in darkness, you have to be aware that the enemy will attack you. If your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Satan will try to take the light that you have stored up in your heart, and he'll try to make it become darkness. Darkness, which is incorrectly responded to, will produce self-conscious response, so that we are not able to enter into faith. If you sense yourself in these times of darkness getting self-conscious, let that be a red flag to you. Let that be an alarm. That's how you will know that the response isn't quite right. It starts with self-consciousness. Dr. Stevens made this statement one time. He said, if the response in darkness is negative, then you look to be entertained and result in a lack of energy, a lack of life, a lack of purpose. That produces confusion so that you live without energy, purpose, or a single eye. You live outside of reality, you're taxed in your emotions, you'll need to go on medication, some people turn to liquor or drugs, passivity, depression, all because that's how a person feels. There's that self-conscious response. This is what general Christianity produces. This happens when people live off of somebody else's vertical. There is a general reliance, but there's not a specific attitude of knowing Christ. And this results in very destructive negative energy. Christ has called us into specifics of a relationship with a specific person. God has a specific mind and specific thoughts. God has a specific will. He loves specifically. He's kind specifically. His mercy is specific. His grace is not general. It is specific. There's a specific application of the Word of God for every specific detail in your life. Darkness is no different. You live in the specifics of doctrine in darkness. Don't allow yourself to enter into that self-consciousness which will produce ultimately this negative energy, and it's going to drain you. If you find yourself there, then recognize that this is a sign for you to make a major adjustment. You can find light in dark times, but you can't follow Satan's attack or drawing or persuasions towards self-centeredness and negativity in dark times. In 2 Corinthians 10:5, when we enter these times of darkness, we cast down all the imaginations and high things that exalt themselves above the knowledge of Christ. And then we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And we're ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Conviction in the Word of God, through the Holy Spirit guiding you in all truth, gives you a walk with God that when these things come against you, you're built up in the Word of God. Have a conviction about being built up. Don't do it just because it's a generally good idea. You don't eat because it's a generally good idea. Get built up properly as much as is necessary to give you what you need in the Word of God, and have a conviction about it. Many believers have no conviction about the most essential thing in their life, the Word of God. They take it or they leave it. They're Sunday morning Christians, and maybe somewhere there's a midweek service they'll attend. That's not a conviction. No, you have a conviction about the Word of God. In Isaiah 66, verse 5, God addressed him as you that love the Word of God. That's an amazing thing for God to say about somebody. You who love the Word of God. If you love the Word of God, you love God. John 1:14, it's the Word that became flesh. Have a conviction about your relationship with Christ. Have a conviction about thinking with God. Have a conviction about bringing your thoughts into captivity through the Word of God. Why? Because it produces the love and the emotions of the Word of God. It produces a positive energy in self and in relationships, which is then communicated. People communicate negative energy. That doesn't come just because they're reacting. People who communicate this negative energy, it comes because they've been attacked. And they didn't recognize the attack because of self-consciousness elevating their emotions as their standard. Dark times are often opportunities for the enemy to attack in this fashion. In the dark times, find light. Light is always abundant. Light is always present. If you can't find light on your own through the Word of God, then obey the voice of His servant. When this takes place, you get to know the power of His resurrection. The dark time, when you find light, that is a form of resurrection life being instilled in you. The dark time, when you find light, that is a form of the life of God living in you. That's the very reason you entered into the dark time. In John 19 and verse 9, Pilate was questioning Jesus. And he said to him, "From where are you?" But Jesus did not give him an answer. So Pilate said to him, "Do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to crucify you and I have authority to release you?" And Jesus answered, "You would have no authority against me at all, not any, if it were not given you from above." Jesus Christ didn't do a lot of talking in his dark times. He was silent almost the entire time. What is he doing? He was abiding. He was abiding in the Word, and the Word was abiding in him. He was abiding in the character of God, and the character of God was abiding in him. But he didn't do a lot of talking. He trusted, and he acted in pure faith in his thoughts and in his speech. He revealed love toward everybody else. What an amazing thing to say to Pilate. It was pure truth. It wasn't cowering. But yet, it was pure truth. You would not be able to do anything with me if God didn't give you the authority. This expression of love through truth, that's what protects us from error. That's what protects us from sin. It's very easy to enter into error or sin when we're in the dark times. Self-consciousness will certainly get us to error or sin in the dark times. But when we take on a heart of truth in our thinking through the Word of God, objective, cold, impersonal truth, not based in emotions, based strictly in reality, then we can love in any circumstance. We can express the character of God in any circumstance. We can have light in any darkness. And if we can't even do that much, then we obey the voice of His servant, and it'll get us there. In Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts you. The beauty of the Word of God is not just in the fact that it builds you. It's not just in the fact that it's your foundation of relationship. The beauty of the Word of God in your relationships horizontally toward other people is that it produces a sensitivity in you to that which is true and to life and to death. You will be able to recognize these things even in darkness when your mind is stayed on the Savior through His Word. You bring every thought into captivity. It does take some mental discipline, but since when was that ever a bad thing? In Psalm 119:130, the entrance of your word gives light. When you operate with light and understanding, you don't allow darkness of trials to make you dark within your own mind or your own emotions. You're fellowshipping with Christ, with the Word of God, with the Holy Spirit, which becomes light to the human spirit. Your darkness is enlightened and you have peace and a single eye, and you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, and you can stand alone with Christ whenever you need to. We don't need to rely on other people in the dark times. I'm not saying it's wrong to fellowship or to get counsel, if necessary, from the right people, or to even come to the right people and tell them your situation. And I do emphasize right people. Not everybody is a spiritual mature Christian. That's not wrong. But if you know how to turn your darkness into light, you can stand on your own. Because you have light, even in darkness. And sometimes you become light in darkness. Job said in Job 13:15, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Dr. Stevens said, "The thing I need to get to know first is not God's plan, not God's purpose, and so on, but rather I must carefully get to know God's nature." You need to fall in love with everything about God, to obey the voice of God in humility, and to recognize that Christ means so much to you. Fall in love with the Savior. The Savior brought the dark time, yeah. But He brought it because there's treasures there. Some people think, well, He brought the dark time just to develop my character and to conform me to the image of His Son. That's nice. He brought you to the dark time so that you could get to know Him. That's the bottom line of it. That's the treasure you find there. That's the purpose of darkness. To reveal light, to draw you closer to light, so that you can get to know light. And then, so you can be light. Amen. If anyone is hearing this message and you have not accepted Christ as your Savior and you don't know that you would go to heaven, pray in your heart, "Lord Jesus, forgive me, save me, come into my heart and live, save my soul, and take me to heaven when I die." Amen.